ye Corinthians, beginning where I left off this morning in the Bible class. Our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. How much room you got in your heart tonight? Amen. Praise God. How big is your heart tonight? That might be the best I can do, Brother Billy, for a title. How big is your heart? How large is your heart? Amen. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Amen. Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. You got a big heart? Amen. I was talking to a Chinese lady on the plane the first time we went to Romania. We had to stay over one night in Rome. And some Chinese architectural students in Rome to study the architecture of Rome got on the plane going back to China when we did, via Romania. And we got to talking to them. The lady was the only one that talked to us. The men were very close-mouthed and didn't talk to us at all. Amen. But Jim got John 3:16 and put his finger on it, let her read it out of the Bible, and she was awed by it. And said, you ought to tell that everywhere you go. Amen. Never heard anything like it. Amen. In process of the conversation, they're all dressed just alike in those gray, drab, pajama-like uniforms that all the Chinese officials prone to wear. Very drab, very gray, all slacks. Look just alike, the women's and the men. Amen. And in process of the conversation, one thing came to another, you know, and she told me that I was a great-hearted person. Amen. I appreciated the compliment. Amen. A lot of people don't think so. But I want you to know that communist student, amen, at least 30 years old probably, she told me that I was great-hearted. Amen. I want to be great-hearted. Amen. How big is your heart tonight? Amen. Paul really says in these three verses, he says, your heart is enlarged to receive everything else, but you've not got a big enough heart to receive me. I want your heart to be enlarged. You know, there's a lot of people that's got room in their heart for everything in the world except righteousness and holiness. They got room in their heart for their entertainments. Boy, they have. I mean, they can just swallow down like water what these actors produce in Hollywood for the world, no matter how they live. But they ain't got heart to receive nor forgive or be long-suffering with hardly anybody in church. But boy, they like their movie stars. They like their TV stars. They live like alley cats and town dogs, but they like them. Amen. That's their private life. But they not got much forgiveness and much place in their heart for the people of God. I like what Sister Lois said a while ago, how that even though it didn't look like it, she hadn't cut her hair for over 40 years. 20? Amen. I was about to go to Bristol and tell 40. Glad you corrected me. Amen. Over 20 years. Amen. That goes to show, you know, you don't always hear what folks are saying. I thought you said 40. Amen. If I'd have been a witness on the witness stand, I'd have said you said 40. Amen. But she said 20. Hadn't cut her hair for 20 years, and she felt self-conscious about being in a holiness church and sitting on the platform and her having short hair like she does. It's long, folks. I appreciate the desire to have long hair. Amen. There's a lot of folks haven't got any room in their heart for people to have that kind of belief. I was following some elderly ladies down the hospital. My daughter walks faster than I do. Almost everybody walks faster than I do. My daughter got way up ahead of me in the hospital one day, and we was up there together for some reason or other. I don't know whether it was my wife's time she was there or not. Maybe so. Amen. But my daughter was there with me. She got way up ahead, that long red hair down her back. You know, and I was walking. It was three elderly ladies had my path blocked. I couldn't catch up with her, so all I could do was walk behind them. And I heard them talking about my daughter's hair. Said, "Boy, she's got that beautiful long hair, don't she?" And you could tell when they mentioned it, it just kind of made them mad. And they said, "Yeah, but if she don't cut that off, she'll start having headaches." Amen. Ain't that ridiculous? I've heard holiness, supposed to be Pentecostal folks, say that that long hair will give you headaches. No, it won't neither. It may cure your headaches. Praise God. It could stand a chance to help you. Praise God. But they didn't have room in their heart. I was standing in a Mercy hospital one day visiting somebody, and somebody in the next bed to them had TV on and had Crystal Gayle up there singing. Crystal Gayle's hair just about drags the ground, country singer. And they was talking about how long her hair was, but how much trouble it gave her, how she ought to cut it off. Amen. That's one of the trademarks of Crystal Gayle, I guess. She got down here in Cincinnati, and I read in the Inquirer how that it was so windy, and she'd picked a windy day to appear in person, and her hair was blowing in the wind, and she thought she might have picked the wrong day, but she didn't go cut it off. It's her trademark. Well, amen. Those folks got room for Crystal Gayle, a country singer. Amen. But they haven't got any room for a good, holiness, godly mother that's got long hair for Jesus. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate you, children. I appreciate you. 14th verse. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Did you know that there's people that will tie in with all kinds of unbelievers and even swear such oaths that would make you turn red in the face just about? Amen. I mean, there are people that will join a lodge that belonged to a Pentecost church, and incidentally, I've had about three, four, five preacher friends that belonged to the Masonic Lodge and thought it was okay. And I remonstrated with them a little bit about it. Amen. But they thought it was okay. I told Brother Theo Carter, who's chaplain of the Masonic Lodge in Pineville, Kentucky, and pastor of Straight Creek Pentecost Church. I told him, I said, "You can't pray in the name of Jesus in the Masonic Lodge." He said, "I did." Amen. He just did as he pleased as chaplain of the Masonic Lodge there in Pineville, Kentucky. Amen. I demonstrated with Brother E.B. Bowling in Norton Wise, Virginia area. Preached several revivals for him, and he had maintained his membership for the lodge, and I told him that it was against the Bible to swear. And he wanted to know why I was against the lodge and so forth. And he'd kept his membership for the lodge. Brother Buford Smith had belonged to the lodge and gone. He'd let his membership elapse and was no longer paying the dues to the lodge. And I've had a lot of friends down through the years, even preacher friends, that their heart was big enough to envelop the lodge with all of its varied members, with all of its constituency. And regardless of what men may say, the lodge may claim to be Christian in organization, but there are many varied denominations of religion in the Masonic order. Amen. And it doesn't make any difference what you think about it. You have all kinds of sinners in the lodge. And they are big enough hearted to receive the lodge, but they can't hardly fellowship a holiness preacher anymore. Huh? Amen. Paul is telling his people, you be enlarged. Praise God. Here they are, they're unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That yoked together means more than marriage, and it includes marriage. Amen. So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A child of God ought to seek a life in the house of God. Huh? Amen. A widow ought to seek a husband in the house of God. Amen. If they can do that legally, praise God. And a bachelor ought to seek a wife in the house of God and in the fellowship of the saints of God. You ought not to date anybody that you wouldn't marry, because dating is preliminary to marriage. Amen. I told you how that when I pastored the first church that I pastored, I wouldn't date while I was pastoring that church. I didn't have any dates at all, and didn't show any attention much to the girls at all. I was mindful of them. I can see, and I can tell if one's beautiful or not, and I can tell if one's appealing or not. I'm not blind, and I'm not deaf, and I ain't dumb. Amen. But after I resigned the church and went on the evangelistic field, I made up for lost time. Amen. And there was Mary Nell in Hampton, Arkansas, there was Doris in Van Buren, Missouri, there was another one in McAllister, Oklahoma, and there was one even in Hamilton, Ohio, some 39 years ago. And I mean, I had a date in just about every port, about a half a dozen of them. And I was in a revival with Brother Fred Hatfield in Batesville, Arkansas, and I dreamed I was in my 46 Mercury going backwards down the road 70 miles an hour and couldn't stop it. The brakes wouldn't work. And man, I just balled up in the seat and hung on to the steering wheel and wait for the glass to fall. And amazingly, the car stopped. And when it stopped just about that far from a chasm. Amen. Well, went back to sleep and dreamed I was in my 1954 yellow Plymouth with a black top going down the road backwards 70 miles an hour, out of control, clumping the brake pedal, trying to stop and couldn't stop. Amen. And I woke up in a sweat, having the same dream twice in two different cars of mine. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And a little voice from out of the night said to this young preacher, 21 years old, son, you've been going backwards instead of forwards. I knew just exactly what he meant. It wasn't his will for me to have a girl in every port. Amen. It was God's will for me to pray through about one, if that time ever came. Amen. And not waste a lot of time. And those things can be dangerous. Hey, you may think your heart's big enough for a half a dozen, but I will tell you tonight, according to this Bible, your heart's just big enough for one woman, fellas. Amen. You may think your heart's big enough, gals, for two or three, but this Bible says your heart's just big enough for one. Amen. Just one. Praise God. And the book of Malachi says, when the Lord made you one, Didn't he have a residue of the Spirit? In other words, didn't he have enough power made left over to make another one if he thought you needed to? Amen. The Lord knew we didn't need two. So he just made us one, Michael. Just one. Praise God. And it's God's will that we have one. All the kings that had many, they missed God. That was one of the big failures of the kings in Bible times. Amen. Solomon had 900, or had 1,000 women, had 700 wives, and 300 concubines. C.L. O'Bannon said he had so many women it took him 16 hours to kiss them all goodnight. That'd be a full-time job to keep 1,000 women satisfied. Amen. And you know what? Solomon didn't change those women. Solomon didn't convert those women from their gods. Solomon didn't sway those women from the background that they had. But you know what happened, David Ray? They swayed Solomon. And Solomon worshipped their gods. Amen. I'll tell you what. You bow at the feet of the goddess of Eros, and the first thing you know, you'll be worshiping their gods. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, God just made room in your heart for one. And if he'd have wanted you to have two, he had enough spirit left over to make two. Amen. And he said, God is angry with these people that have dealt treacherously with the wife of their youth. I might add, with the husband of their youth. Amen. Thou hast dealt treacherously, he said in Malachi. The whole Jewish nation has done that. While on the one hand claiming obedience to the Jewish law, they disobeyed it in every point except a few kosher laws and a few outward ceremonies. Amen. They fumbled the ball almost out around every corner. Amen. How big is your heart? I'll tell you what. God gave you a heart. God gave you an inner capacity to receive certain things and to reject certain things. Praise God. And he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Amen. Our heart's a big boy. Amen. That we got all kinds of buddies outside the church. Amen. But you can't handle it. One of our boys here in the church, he knows what's the matter with him. Amen. He was hooked on bowling. And he's continually dropped back to the bowling alley and the old cronies. Amen. His life and his home is a wreck tonight because he wouldn't come out from among them and be ye separate. Oh, he got his picture in the paper for winning the tournament. He was a good bowler. Hey, the devil will let you make it, some of you. Amen. If you'll follow him and if you'll bow to him. Amen. Oh, yeah, he'll give you a big enough heart to receive those old cronies and make you so mad at the preacher that's preaching holiness that you can't stand it. He'll make you so mad at the people of God and that bunch of fanatics at the church till you can't stand it. There's something wrong with a professed child of God that's got room for the law and no room for the fellowship of holiness, folks. Amen. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Obvious answer to that question is that Christ and Belial, Christ and Satan, don't have any fellowship. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Amen. I mean, if you run with unfaithful people and people without faith, it'll rub off on you. The amazing thing about righteousness is that if a righteous person goes in among a bunch of sinners, his righteousness don't rub off on them. Amen. But it's like a good apple and a bunch of rotten apples. If you're not very careful, the rotten apples will cause you to rot. Hey, the first thing you do when you get saved is change crowds. You no longer run with the bunch that you ran with. Amen. I had to change crowds. So I wrote the first verse of my new song. When I gave my life to Jesus, so I walk like a stranger in the crowd. Some mocked, some left me in pity at the cross to which I had bowed. Well, glory to God. There's something else I need to tell you tonight. There's a whole segment of professed Pentecost today that anything goes. And if you're not very careful, you'll find room in your heart for those that's got it hanging here and 15 bell collars around their neck. Amen. And they're jangling here. And the only reason they ain't got more rings on their fingers is they ain't got any more fingers. They got them on their thumbs, on their fingers, and everything else. Amen. And anything goes. No holds barred. And I want to tell you something, saints. You got to get out of a church like that. Amen. And he said, wherefore? Amen. Let me read 16 first. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. How big is your heart? Your spiritual temple. It ought to be big enough for God to dwell. And I liked what Brother Hughes said a while ago when he said he thought about God all the time. That's the first thing I noticed about getting saved, that I became God conscious. I thought about God all the time. I was mindful of God day and night when I was awake. Amen. God was in my mind, my heart, and my thoughts. Say, folks, if God lives in your heart, you'll think about him all the time. Amen. Glory to God. That's a wonderful experience to have God on your mind. I woke up this morning with heaven on my mind. Praise God. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Paul said this is a reciprocal thing. He said, my heart is enlarged. I'm big enough to receive you. But he said, your heart hasn't been enlarged and got big enough to receive me. Amen. It's serious business when you reject the gospel preacher. Samuel wept about that. Amen. And God spoke to him and said, Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. You see, the trouble with Israel, they didn't have room for God to live in their life anymore. They wanted a king, somebody they could see. And all their kings caused them trouble, just like God said they would. Amen. There was hardly a half a dozen that was worth 2 cents in all the ongoing history of Israel's kings. Amen. There were some good ones, but not very many. Some started good and wound up bad. Some started bad and wound up good. Amen. But it was with some great to-do of God's chastening mercies. Praise God. Wherefore he said, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's holiness, folks. Not to even touch it. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a law in the Old Testament that you wasn't supposed to touch any dead body. If you touched a dead body, you was unclean for a certain period of time. Amen. Amen. Why did they not want anybody touching a dead body? Because the same disease that killed them could kill you. And you might not only catch it, but you could become a carrier of it. So if you touch the dead body, amen, you could not only be infected, but you could infect somebody else. And so God said, you'll be unclean so many days if you touch a dead body. Amen. And there's a spiritual lesson in that for us. Folks, we're not supposed to run with dead Christians. We're not supposed to be fellowshipping with those that are dead spiritually. Even though they profess Christ, if they're dead, they don't have any spirit. Amen. And I might add, you need to have the Spirit of God in your house. You need to so clean house at your house that when children of God come to your house, they feel a good spirit in your house. Amen. Did you know that people of God can tell if there's a good spirit in your house? Amen. Jesus told his apostles, when you go preaching, amen, and you come up to a house, you say, peace to that house. But he said, if your peace returns to you, go ahead and leave that house. Don't stay. If your peace stays and abides on that house, amen, they've got room for you. They like you. They'll help you. Amen. But if your peace returns to you, don't even stay at that house. Mom, you need to be careful what house you send your kids to. You need to be careful what little kids you allow your kids to play with. Amen. They're liable to catch it. You don't think they can? Well, you think the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'll tell you what will happen. The first thing you know, they'll get a taste of that world and they'll say, Mama didn't tell me it tasted this good. Daddy didn't tell me about this. They're a bunch of old fogies. Hey, I like this better. Amen. You better watch where you send your little kids. Huh? Amen. Let me emphasize again, saints, we need to have the Spirit of God in our house. We need to have Bibles stacked around. We need to have mothers and fathers of prayer. Praise God. And we need to be open and ready to receive good people of God. And they need to feel good in our house. I'll just tell you, I've gone to some houses I didn't feel the Spirit of God in. Amen. And I can feel the Spirit of God. And some of them I've gone back several times and still didn't feel the Spirit of God, hoping for better things. Amen. It's up to you. You're going to have to clean house. You're going to have to clean up your private life until folks can feel God. Amen. Godly people can feel at home in your fellowship. Did you know that there's churches in Hamilton with 1,000 and better members? Some of them with 1,500 members. Amen. They come and sit in church and shout a little bit even, and they hide behind each other. And they have very little fellowship with each other. Amen. I mean, when church is over, they go home. And the only ones they have any dealing with are folks as in bad a shape as they are. And they hide behind each other to sin. Amen. There's several of them right here in Hamilton. And I want to tell you, true children of God need to get out of churches like that. They'll become contaminated. You don't have to come to the highway of holiness. Amen. But there's some more good churches you can go to and they need help. Amen. Without you throwing your influence and your mind and your heart and your moral influence behind the thing that's going to be a tragedy and a travesty in the long run. Amen. Glory to God. Come out from among them, he said, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. You know immediately in your own heart when you've touched an unclean thing. You know immediately in your own heart when you've allowed indulgence in your life in the unclean thing. Here's how an honest-hearted Christian feels when he touches or listens to or is entertained or reads or has had a relationship of fellowship of some sort with an unclean thing, here's how a child of God feels when he goes to prayer. He feels like repenting. Amen. I can tell you that from experience. A child of God feels like repenting, and he needs to repent. That's the thing to do immediately. Amen. Here's what happens in many Christians' lives. They touch the unclean thing. They taste the unclean thing. Amen. But because they know they're going to have to repent and they're in no shape to touch God, they don't pray. And they miss their altar time after time. And they don't repent. And they get case hardened. Amen. And they lose the Spirit of God. And after a while, they look with disdain down their ecclesiastical nose at the people that's shouting the victory and the sweet Spirit of God in the service, and they wonder what's going on anyhow. Because they're not a part of it. They're not in on it. What's the matter? There's too much stuff that's accumulated in the dark corners of their heart. Amen. And they need to clean the house. Come clean and repent. I repeat, a true child of God, when he touches an unclean thing, feels like repenting, and that's what he ought to do. Amen. And here's what will happen. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Isn't that wonderful? To be received of God. Amen. If we've got a large enough heart to receive righteousness, godly preaching, holiness, fellowship, praise God, then thank God we too will be received, and God will have room in his heart to receive us. But if we have no room in our heart for God and the things of God, and the church is a chore, a bore, I'll tell you tonight, if church is a bore and the world's fun, you need to get saved. If church is a bore and pleasure is fun, you need to get right with God. I don't want to go to church, it's boring. You need to get saved. You got the wrong spirit. Praise God. Hey, get right with God and church won't be boring anymore. You'll hardly be able to wait to get there. Amen. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. God makes room in the family for you and I. Why? Conditions here. If you come out from among them and be separate, I'd rather have fellowship with God, wouldn't you? How many would rather have fellowship with God than fellowship with God? I'd rather have a touch of God, wouldn't you? I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I famish for the touch of God. Amen. But I'm reaching for it. I'm looking for it. I'm longing for it. I appreciate it when it happens. Amen. Sometimes the refreshings are too far between. Glory to God. But oh, when they come, what a blessing they are. Amen. If there's anything you'd rather do than go to church, you need to get right. If there's anything you'd rather do than have fellowship with Jesus, you need to repent. If there's anybody that you'd rather run with than the people of God, you need to get right with God. Amen. And if one of our group goes astray, the Bible said, let them that are spiritual restore such a one. You know what it takes to restore somebody? Amen. You got to have some power before you can restore somebody. You got to be spiritual. Praise God. You know the reason why some folks can't forgive and they can't be an instrument of restoration? They're not spiritual. They're as carnal as kraut. Amen. Oh God, they're as dead as a hammer. They're as dry as a bird's nest. Their heart is shriveled up as big as a pea. Amen. They've not got room for anything. Glory to God. Oh God, Paul said, let your heart be enlarged. What God wants? He wants us to get big enough to have fellowship and love every minute of it with the saints of God. Let's stand tonight. Glory to God. And let's ask God to help us, Father. Touch our lives and anoint us, Lord, according to your good pleasure. Oh, Lord, take our lives and make them count for the glory of God. I pray in Jesus' righteous name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As they sing another beautiful invitation song, we invite you to fellowship most blessed and eternal. We invite you to joy unspeakable and full of glory. We invite you to thrills, praise God, better than anything this world's got to offer. Come on tonight, let's tarry before the Lord. Let's tell him our heart. Let's let him mold us and shape us and give us a heart like his heart. A heart that has big enough capacity for the things of God. Amen. Loves the Bible, loves prayer, loves the things of God. Amen. Has the Spirit of God in your private life and in your home. Praise God. Come on, let's talk to Jesus.